Thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to your word. And we ask you, Lord, that you quicken it to us. Lord, make it real and alive. And allow that, Lord, to touch our hearts. Lord, anoint us, Lord, to receive it and to implement it in our lives so that, Lord, we can see the change and the impact and the empowering that can bring to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so last week, you know, we saw, starting to see the impact of what Jesus did for us in terms of the results that brought about in our lives. In a way that, you know, we receive the understanding, we can appropriate everything, Lord, that not just on the surface, you know, but really the possibilities that what he did open for us. Because one thing is to just theologically know some of the things, another thing is to actually come into appreciation and possession of these things. There is a component that has to do with appropriating the word. Lambano, taking, you know, by faith. And that part there is depending very much on our fact of really our understanding of what is ours. What is given to us. If we don't understand that, we can't take it. It's like we have a bank account that we don't know about. Okay? And so, you know, or we just know, you know, that we have a bank account and there is a few dollars there. When instead there is an infinite amount of blessings beyond our imagination that we should come into to appreciate and come and to realize, come to understand and come to connect with the love of God. How much he loves us to give us all these things, not because we deserve them, but just simply because Jesus did it for us. This is really the realization that should make us love God even more. Okay? So, let me see where we start here. All right. Now, there are some things we saw already. Okay? We saw that, you know, he became sin for us so that we can become his righteousness. So we get righteousness, you know, right standing with God. But it's not just right standing with God legally. It's right standing with God because of our transformation. That means we are going to start acting righteously because that is not just a title that we have or a label that we put on our head or whatever. It's a reality that took place by which we appropriate his righteousness. You know, all these things are not just labels or just theoretical ideas that we get. This is a reality that we can appreciate, you know, like that has to be manifested in our lives. But it starts with us hearing and understanding the word and appreciating it and appropriating it. So that thing become a reality for us. Such a reality that is even in the physical world, not just spiritually. There is an implication. If there is a change in the spirit world, within us, in our spirit, there is going to be a change that is corresponding to that in our physical being and in our behavior. And so this is really where we start, and really the righteousness of God, really the beginning that we have a connection with God, that we have, you know, in a relationship with him, that without hindrances, without blockages. There is love flowing in both directions. And then, you know, all that comes with that start to manifest into our salvations. Our salvation is becoming free, delivered from all the bondages that the world was in, that the world came in about because of what Adam did. All the things that goes there, that means freedom. And freedom doesn't mean that we can do everything that we feel like it. Because actually, we do what we, with everything we feel like, but what we feel like it is what God wants us to feel like it. Because we are transformed inside. So the things that we want are the things that God wants. And to the degree that we have been transformed, that is going to be the reality for us. But there is freedom in doing that. It's not a coercion. It's not a question that we are have to follow certain rules and tick off a certain list of things that we have to make sure that we have to do. There are no, you know, the rules are pretty simple when we follow our heart, because our heart has been changed. Now, with that, all the part of the bondages, you know, sickness and disease is dealt with, or should be dealt with. Now, the enemy, you know, the fact that we say these things doesn't mean that, you know, the enemy cannot try to attack us. He's going to try to find all way possible to attack us in any way that he can. The point is, we are free, and we have to know that we are free so that we can kick him off. So this, you know, just the fact that we get healed doesn't mean that we are going to be healed forever. It means simply that we can keep being healed as we need to. And finally, you know, there is a component there. And we, you know, that actually, you know, we stopped at salvation last time. And is that available to everybody? This is available to anyone that wants to. It's not just some special people. We had to make that decision, we had to take that step, and then it's guaranteed that we have it. But that's to be a true commission, it's not just a religious idea. Then, you see, from that, you know, all the different manifestation of freedom, which sickness is, freedom from sickness is a component. We become free from bondage. And that has to be manifested. It is manifested as we understand, appropriate, and start living in that freedom. And we impose it on the world, on the devil, on the physical body. We have authority over that. And it's not our authority, it's Jesus' authority. So it's not that we had to, it's not really our authority, because it's just still Jesus' authority. That's why we pray in Jesus' name. We don't pray in my name or your name, because it doesn't do any good. You see, you pray in Jesus' name because it's his authority that we are implementing. And now because of that, you know, your limitation don't count. It doesn't matter how much, you know, abilities you have or how cleaned up even you are. It's his authority. If you are his representative, if you are in him, if you are trusting in him and believing in him, this is going to happen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, the important thing to remember here, okay, is that, you know, it's not a one-time deal. It's ongoing. This is a walk that we take. And it's going to be dependent on many ways on the, what we do. Because, you know, our bondages that we took and we had because of the world, they tend to come back if we don't take proper action. You see, what we mix with, what we commune with, what we are exposed to have an effect on us. And so if we are mixed with the world, take an example, you know, somebody that, a young person is messed up with a gang or something like that, okay? And he's go before the judge. The judge has a condemnation for him, but says, you know, but okay, but if you keep away from them, from your friend, I'm going to forget the punishment. And things go well for a period of time because he kept away. But after a while, his friends call him up, you know, he even get the excuse, well, you know, I'm going to minister to them. The excuse. And then what happens is that because he's with them, he's influenced by them, and is back there doing the things he was doing before. The fact that being free doesn't mean anything. He gets back exactly where he was before, taking drugs and doing the things that he didn't need to do. Okay. It's the same thing with our spiritual walk. You know, if we have been in the world and been doing things in the world, and then the Lord Jesus set us free and we become free from that. But then if we end up associating and mixing up and doing things with the world, those things are going to rub off on us. So we have to keep ourselves. Keep our heart with all diligence. The things we are exposed make a difference. The other thing is, you know, the other thing that we got free is a gift that we got as a result of that. You know, in the Old Testament, people needed to connect with God. And God had to go there to meet them. Well, and they were visited by God at times. Well, what Jesus did, the thing is, the situation has changed completely. We are not anymore visited by God. We are indwelled by God. That means he's not coming sometime when we feel him. Oh, I feel the anointing now. Tomorrow, oh, I don't feel the anointing today. I can't do anything. Doesn't make any difference. He's inside you. You are habitation, not a visitation. You are the temple of the Holy Spirit. If he's inside there, he doesn't come and go. Where you come and go, he goes with you. Okay, so those are enormous differences. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Oh, do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you?" So we don't need to be there trying to get an atmosphere to get God with us. He's inside there. You don't need to manipulate God to show up. You have to act in faith that he's there when you feel him or not. It's unscriptural. All this stuff that is taught these days about the anointing that comes and go. There is no such a thing in the New Testament, not once. God is with us. He does not leave us, not forsake us. The only thing that goes away is when we go away and we leave him. So it's up to us. Really. So, let me continue here. The temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you? Whom you have from God, and you are not your own. For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your body and in your spirit, which are God's. So you see, really, you know, God wants to, you see, what do you think it means that God dwells in you? I mean, if he dwells in you, has a purpose to dwell in you. You see, he wants to live through you. He wants to manifest himself through you. He doesn't do anything by himself anymore. Even in the past, he worked always through somebody. But now, he's there all the time so that he can manifest himself through you. But you had to allow him. You had to accept his leadership and his direction in your life. And not allow other things, other ideas, other desires and things like that that shouldn't be there to control you. So, this is true for everybody, not just for some people. You see, in the Old Testament, there are some people that, you know, the prophets, the kings, and so on, that they had an anointing, and everybody else didn't. This is for every believer. We are king and priests. That's what it means. Okay? So we had to allow that. We had to enter into that dimension in our experience, in our life, so that we start acting it out. And so there is really, you know, a decision we had to make. There is something that we had to come to determine. You know, in Paul, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2 said, For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. You see, that has to become the center of our identity. We are the body in which he dwells. And when that is the focus, the idea, the things that actually we are concentrated, that's our center of our attention all the time, there are not going to be many problems for other things. Things are going to happen the way they should. Has to be the focus of every believer's life. You know, this is so important. See, that is the dying to yourself. It's not a question that you become a zombie. You die to yourself means, you know, that you submit yourself to his reality in you. That he start taking over your behavior, your focus and your attention all the time. Not just sometime. See, he's not. We should feel his presence. Because we are aware of his presence all the time. See, that brings us to a place in which we can start having a experience of the resurrection power of the Lord Jesus Christ. See, the resurrection comes after death. Our death is not a question of, you know, dying completely. It's a question of dying to the flesh. We die to the things of the flesh so that we can live for the things of the Spirit. And when we start living for the things of the Spirit, our experience is going to be what? Resurrection power. You see, that comes from the, you see, this is why it's so important to understand, you know, him, when we say, you know, I'm determined to know him and him crucified, means really that we realize that, you know, he has done it and he's resurrected. He's not just crucified, but also resurrected. And he's resurrected 2,000 years ago, but he's resurrected in us. We are resurrected with him. You know what says in Philippians, I mean, know him and the power of his resurrection. Well, if you are not dead like he was, you cannot live like he lives. Are you still here? So really, the thing that we had to realize, that the biggest thing that Jesus has achieved through his death, burial, and resurrection, is that we become children of God. And not just children, but sons of God. There is a big difference between a child of God and a son of God. When we are born again, at that moment, we become children of God. Why? Because children need to be looked after. I mean, need their change, their diapers changed, they need everything, they need to be told, even, you know, it takes them many years before they become grown-ups. Okay? By the time they're grown up, they don't need to be told anymore what to do. But when they are children, you have to tell them, don't go in the puddle, you get all dirty. And they instead, they are splashed and they have a great time. Okay? That's true spiritually. Okay? That's what we have to realize. So there is this transformation that has to take place. But God didn't, you know, send Jesus to do what he did to keep us children. The fact that we are children already means that we are part of his family, that we are coming from him. But we had to demonstrate that. We had to grow up into that. Okay? But there are so many things that because of what Jesus did are transferred into us. You know, yesterday I had a thought. You know, recently, you can see what our mind, the mind of man, the natural man, has been able to do in the last few years. Did it before too, but now it becomes even more evident. You know, the technological advances that are beyond, you know, what anyone can think. It's unbelievable what we have achieved in the natural, using our mind. And that depended on one fact, you know, understanding the laws of nature. When you understand the laws of nature and you start to use them properly, you can start applying and build up on that. That sounds to me like almost the Tower of Babel. You know, trying to get to heaven the wrong way. But, you know, still, what we have achieved is unbelievably, you know, amazing. Would you say that? I mean, now, like, look, why, you know, this thing here is big, you know, has more power than a computer that, you know, when I started using computers, they kept a whole room and spent $1,000 of electricity a day. Okay, and this, you can call everywhere. So, I mean, this is, we get used to these things, but they're really unbelievable. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what we will achieve when we start really understanding the spiritual laws? I mean, if the results here are amazing, they're going to be, you know, spectacular, unbelievable. Now this, what it's like to be sons. Okay. The achievement is going to be, and you know, the interesting thing is now, because of the time we are in, we start to, the veil is being removed, and we start to see that. And it starts to be manifested more. Not from some special people, but from many more than there were ever before. This is so, I don't know, exciting is not enough to say. You know, and it's coming fast. You know, if before the technological advances have been fast in the aspect, you know, spiritually it's going to be the same. That's what's happening. See, there is always a parallel between physical things and spiritual things. And that parallel, you know, when things go fast in one, they go fast in the other. This is the mystery of the ages that's been opened up, as Paul calls it. Now, you know, in Hebrew, chapter 2, verse 6, says one thing that we had to, you know, realize and understand. It says, but one testified in a certain place, saying, what is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take a care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels. Now this is talking about Jesus. But actually, he's not just talking about Jesus. You see, everything, many things that the Bible talks about Jesus, as Jesus made us sons, are transferred to us. Because that's God's plan. Seems almost too much to talk about. But this is really God's plan. It's been God's plan from the beginning, and God's plan is going to come to pass if we like it or not, even if religious people get mad when you say something like that. When we see him as he is, we will be like him. That's the word. It's not me saying it. Praise the Lord. So I made him lower than the angels. I may crown him with, you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over all works of your hands. So you see, this is talking about Jesus, evidently. The thing is, you know, Jesus made him lower than the angels because Jesus became flesh and died like we do. So for to do that, he had to, you know, angels don't die. The thing is, we don't die too. The physical body dies. Okay? But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, from the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, may taste death for everyone. So if he tasted death for everyone, the other ones don't need to. Now, the implication of that, okay, that, you know, he demonstrated eternal life, he demonstrated life, he demonstrated immortality. He was resurrected, he got the resurrected body that doesn't die. Well, we'll get a resurrected body that doesn't die. It's not there yet. We have to get there. It's going to be a lot better than the one we have now. But, you know, even the one we have now was purchased with a price. So has some value. Because without this body, we couldn't do the things we do, and we couldn't get to the place that God wants us to get. So we shouldn't put down the body that we have today, but we have to take care of it as something that was given us by God. Okay, you know, in Revelation chapter 1, verse 18 says, you know, I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. See, that is, you know, the Jesus that came to show us what the potential is for us. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Saint Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. So the implication there, you know, is not just the question that your spirit lives. He is the resurrection. He is our resurrection. We can start experiencing some of the power of resurrection right now if we allow him to take over and start living with his spirit operating in us. See, but the idea, the bottom line there, you know, that these things are not just he didn't conquer these things for himself. He didn't need to go and die. He didn't need to be resurrected. He had eternal life already. But he came to give us eternal life now. We don't get eternal life when we are dead and resurrected. We get it when we are born again, when we are born of the God and not of the will of man. And if we get that, we already have it. We are not going to experience death. This death of this body is just a temporary thing. We just had to use it so for God's purposes, so that God is benefiting from what we are doing here. All right, here. Jesus said, you know, in verse 26, that whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? I mean, that should be, you know, the bottom line of our beliefs. Okay? I mean, okay, yes, this tent here may go, but who cares? We have a better house to live in. Praise the Lord. All right. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, and this verse parallel Romans 8:11. It says, "And what exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ Jesus, when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of in heavenly places." So you see, that's the power that works in us who believes. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead. That's exactly what says also in Romans 8:11. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. So it's that power that, you know, that's it's not just the spirit there. Here it goes from Orient to say, you know, just the spirit, is also the power that was manifested there is inside us to operate exceedingly abundantly more than what we can think and dream. I mean, if we can just release that power, and you do that by dying. I mean, by dying to the flesh, not dying physically. You see, the flesh cannot have that power. It's in your spirit. And so you cannot operate that. See, that's why, you know, people sometimes have problem getting healed, because they try to get healed by things in the flesh, by the power of the flesh, by the power of the mind, when instead it's the spirit inside us that energizes us and enables us to do things beyond. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead brought him to, you know, give him a new body. It can give you a new body. It's the same spirit. It's the same life. It's eternal life. You know, we say, you know, sometimes we use words and we apply them to heaven, when instead, you know, to those that believe in him, he gave them the power to have eternal life. It's in you today. Hallelujah. I mean, we should get excited. Won't you say? Whew. All right. Now, Ephesians, you know, just following that, you know, working his mighty power. Ephesians 1:20 continues and says, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated at the right hand of in heavenly places. 21, far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. So that's the type of power. I mean, there is no greater power that is working in us than the one is working inside there. So we should be able to, you know, if that's fully manifested, we should be able to do anything. I mean, anything. Now, let me continue, because that's not the final verse that I wanted to read. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over the church, over all things to the church. So you see, he put everything under Jesus' feet. And he is the head of the body, the church, which is his body. So really, we are his body. Well, isn't that what we have been saying all up to this moment? The fact that we, you know, are the temple of the Holy Spirit, that means he dwells in us, so we are his body. So essentially, he lives through us today on earth. You see, we are his body today because he is working in us, his spirit is working in us, and he's wanting to accomplish the things that he can accomplish because he works through us. Now, there is an implication right there. Okay? The fullness of him who fill all in all. So we are, because we are his body, and everything was put under his feet. Well, then if we are his body, we are his feet too. Hello? So if we are his feet, everything is under us. See, all power and authority that he has is passed over to us that we can exercise. It is not our authority or power. It's his authority and his power. And as long as we are in Christ, that power is there, ready to be manifested in us. And the less there is the flesh in the way, and the more that power is going to be operating in us. We can be fleshy and get God power. Praise the Lord. I mean, that is not exciting. I mean, if we just come to realize and appreciate and appropriate that, just a little bit of that, not very much. I mean, you don't need much of that power because, you know, that power is God's power. Are you still there or you're raptured already? I mean, this is God's plan from the. This is the mystery of the ages. It's coming up and it's being revealed, and it's all over the Bible. Nobody, no, you know, up to now, not many people are talking about it. You say, well, what's the matter with them? The only thing they say, they're talking about sin. Well, sin doesn't go, doesn't stick around when you have God's Spirit inside you, working in you, because it just doesn't fit with your own image, with your own desire, with your own anything. It has nothing to do with you. Hallelujah. See, the time is finished. So, well, we added one today a bit, you know, talking about eternal life, assurance of immortality, the communion with God that is the result of what Jesus did for us. I mean, all those things are part and parcel of what he did with his death, burial, and resurrection. By itself, that should be just getting us to glorify it. But, you know, there is more. I mean, we are just touching the surface. See, we are not yet fully got into the thing about the implication, some of the implication that this is. There are some things that are thought, actually, the genuine thought, that are, you know, even right. So we don't have the time to do it today. Huh. Too bad, but we have time to make a confession. Amen? Those are always good things. I mean, I always have a good time when I make confessions. You know, not the confession, they go to the confessional there and sorry, no, Father, I've sinned. That's you know, Lord, thank you. That's my confession. All right? Praise the Lord. Amen? Amen. I mean, we confess our sins, absolutely, but that's important, but you shouldn't stay there. We have to go farther than behind that. You know, you stay there, you just never go anywhere. You have to move on. And this is why there is all God, all the whole counsel of God has to be looked at, not just some things. Praise the Lord. Okay, let's make a confession today. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your love. What you did for us by sending Jesus, so set me free from sin, from condemnation, from bondage, from sickness, and even from death. Thank you for your eternal life that now is in me. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who come and dwell in me. He does not visit me, but dwells in me. He does not come and go according to the feelings I have or where I am, because I believe in Jesus. He is in me. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit dwells in me and in my body to use it for God's purposes. He said that the work that Jesus did, I will do also, and even greater works, because this way Jesus and the Father will be glorified in my life. Thank you, Jesus, that you took my sins and became sin for me, that I become your righteousness. I walk in righteousness. I'm in right standing with God, with the Father. The Father loves me, and he loves Jesus, and he called me his child. Praise you, Lord. I'm a child of God. And when Jesus is revealed, I should be like him, because I see him as he is. Because this hope is in me, I purify myself to get ready for his return. Hallelujah. I'm saved. I'm free. I'm healed. From head to toe, I am healed. I'm dead to the world. I'm dead to the flesh. But I'm alive in Christ. Because I'm baptized in Christ, I have the resurrection life. Hallelujah. I have the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, working in me, giving me victory over temptation, over sin, and over sickness. I have Jesus' power working in me as I rule every, and I rule in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. I rule over principalities and powers and dominions and darkness. I am in the body of Christ, and the enemy is under my feet. Praise God. I can step on scorpions and serpents, and in no way they can hurt me. I'm born of God. I'm a son of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God as he dwells in me. I receive the Spirit of adoption, and I live as an overcomer. I am a joint heir with Christ. His inheritance is my inheritance. I crucify the deed of the flesh, and I grow up from a child to the son, from a servant to a son. I love my Heavenly Father with all my mind, with all my heart, and all my strength. The Father loves me and provides for all my needs. I'm grateful and give him praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. You know, the only thing you have to do is to take the scriptures and to use them for yourself. I mean, it's not that complicated, but it is that powerful. Amen? God bless you.